Well, good morning. Folks, good morning. Lovely to see you here. You are very welcome to St. Phil Road this morning on behalf of our church here. Let me say, especially if you're new with us or you're visiting with us this morning, it's really great to have you with us. You're really welcome. Especially if you are the family and friends of Hannah and Salmon. If Hannah and Salmon have brought you along this morning, it's great to have you with us. We gather to worship in Jesus' name, and we love to do that. And we're really looking forward to the baptism of Hannah and Samuel this morning. Let me say, I should probably say my name. If you don't know me, my name's Ben Walker. I'm the minister here. And we also have, during the service, a little bit later in the service, there's our ARC, which is for children of primary school age, and there's a creche. And that goes on throughout the service, in through the youth room. And there is also JCBs for those in first to second form. So all of that is available a little bit later in the service. If you're new with us and you want to head out for that, there's a moment a little bit later on. It'll be really clear. Everybody heads out those doors. And Jill, who's up here, you'll see Jill a little bit later when she's holding a baby, will be at the back there. She'll be everywhere this morning. But she'll be at the back there just letting you know where to go. So do make use of that. I should say as well, though, just to everyone, that next week, with it being half term, we've got no ARC and we've got no JCB, so we're going to be all ages, all in together next week. But listen, we gather to worship God, we gather to remember and celebrate his promises, especially in baptism. And I want to begin with some words from Psalm 86. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They'll bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Let's pause and pray for a minute. You alone are God. Lord God, as we gather this morning, we ask that you would gather us up, gather up our thoughts and our senses to be focused on you. Draw us in by your matchless love and grace. Lord, we come with joy, but we leave behind our other cares. Forgive us all those sins in which we've been caught up this week. Set us free to worship you now in spirit and truth. Renew us in your great promises and reshape our lives to live and love like Jesus as children of our Father. Move in us by your Spirit as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together our opening hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Well, I wonder if the kids want to come and join me at the front here. You'll get a better view of what's going on in a minute or two. Come on up and join me here. Guys, great to see you. This morning, we have two baptisms. We've been having lots of baptisms recently. It's brilliant, isn't it? But before we do, or as we do, I want to tell you a bit of a story. And it's about a woman from the Bible who loved and trusted God. And there she is. She knew God was the Lord of all. She knew also that the world God had made was a bit broken and unfair. She'd experienced it herself. But she knew God had promised that he would turn everything the right way round, and that he was going to send his special king to do this. In fact, she was a bit of a singer. Anybody a bit of a singer? Anybody like to sing songs? Like a bit of a song? She was a bit of a singer, and she even sang a song about how God would do this, and it's in the Bible. Now, this woman longed to have a baby herself. She longed to have a little boy. So she asked God, because she said, God, I really want this boy to be a part of what you are going to do in this world. I really want him to know your promises and serve you and be part of your people and be a blessing to other people. So she said, Lord, would you give me a child? I wonder, do you know what this woman's name was? Anybody know what this woman's name was? Have a guess. Do you know, we're coming to her. Hold that thought. That's a great answer. But it's not yet. Hold that. Anybody know what this woman's name was? Any big people know what this woman's name was? Shout it out for me. Hannah. She was called Hannah. And Hannah said, God, I'd love to have a baby boy and for him to love and serve you. And we're told that God looked on Hannah with his special love and favor. In fact, that is what Hannah means. It means favor. Or another word we use for that is grace. God's special love. He looked on Hannah with his grace and said, I want to give you a baby boy. Funny, isn't it? Hannah Grace. That's the name of the girl we're going to baptize today. Hannah Grace. Anyway, Hannah Grace, by grace, had a little boy. I wonder if you can guess what his name was. Yes. Samuel, spot on. Hannah Grace had a little boy and his name was Samuel. And that means heard by God, because we know that God not only keeps his promises, he hears when his people speak to him. And he heard Hannah. So she had a little boy, Samuel, and she brought him to the temple because she wanted him to know and grow up in God's promises and be part of God's people and serve him all of his days. And Samuel grew up to be a man who would lead God's people, and he was the man who would put the crown on the one God chose to be king. And in the end, Samuel crowned the king who would famously lead Israel and build God's kingdom and be a man who God said was after his own heart. Samuel crowned this king. And what? Anybody ever guess what that king's name was? Yes. David, good man. Funny. Samuel David is the name of the boy that we're baptizing today. We know God makes promises to bring his blessing to the whole world through his king. And that along the way, he uses people like Hannah, by grace, and like Samuel, and like David. We also know that that David was not the truly special king that God promised. But God did promise that King David that one day his great, 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 and a few more greats grandson would be the king who would be even greater than David and make all things right and be king forever. And so it was. Hundreds of years later, there was another woman who was very like Hannah, and she sung songs like Hannah, but her name was Mary, exactly. And Mary was met by God's amazing favor and grace. And to her was born Now, this is not going to be too hard. A boy called Jesus. The King come to fulfill God's promises. The one who would bring forgiveness and hope to people everywhere and turn God's world the right way up. We know that God's promises that Hannah and Samuel and David and Jesus knew are still true for us today. And baptism, when we come and put water on our children here, is our way of marking them in God's promises and saying God makes those promises fresh today for you and me, and especially for Hannah and Samuel. They're promises that Hannah grew up in and that Samuel was marked by, but that we're going to mark this Hannah and Samuel in today and pray that they would grow up in the promises of Jesus along with the rest of us. We say that in baptism, parents and the congregation, all of us, bring children to God like Hannah brought Samuel. In faith in God's promises in Jesus, knowing that God the Father loves them, loves each one of us with a special love and grace, and calls them into his family, the church. Knowing that our Lord and King Jesus welcomes them as he welcomes children long ago. And that the Holy Spirit, praying that the Holy Spirit will bring them and each one of us in due time to respond to those promises and that call. We know too that brings great responsibility on parents and on the congregation, that children may be brought up in the knowledge and presence of Jesus and the joy of those promises. So in that faith, Joanne and David bring Hannah and Samuel for baptism. Before they do, we're going to pray, because this is a great thing we do as we mark children in God's promises. So let's pray together. Almighty God, our Father, we come lifting our hearts to you in praise and thanksgiving because you've made each and every one of us in your image. You've breathed life into us and you give us new life in Jesus and call us into your family, the church. You call us like you called Hannah and Samuel, to serve you in your world and know your promises. And we know that good news of forgiveness and love is not just for us, but for our children and our children's children. So Lord, as we come to baptize, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work and you would give grace to this Hannah and Samuel and to all of us. Help them and all of us to live as those true to our baptism, worshiping you as Lord, following you in every day, in every way. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, David, Joanne, Hannah, Samuel, come and join me at the front here. Hiya. Listen, actually, I should say, it's time to stand up. Let's all stand, shall we? Well, David, Joanne, you know baptism lays a solemn duty on you to make a confession of your faith and to promise to bring up your children, Hannah and Samuel, in that faith. So I'm going to ask three questions of you, to which you respond, we do. And then I'm going to ask one question of all of us, to which we say, we do. Actually, you might say, we are, but you know. Who's worried about verbs? Joanne, David, in presenting this child for baptism, are you affirming your belief in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
We are.
Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior from sin and as Lord of your lives?
We are.
And depending on the grace of God, are you committed to living as followers of Jesus Christ, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit? And are you willing to provide a Christian home and bring up Hannah and Samuel in the worship and teaching of the church so that they may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
We are.
People of God, baptism also lays solemn duties on us in this congregation. So let me ask us, as we receive Hannah and Samuel into the fellowship of this church, Do we promise, with God's help, to be faithful in prayer, spiritual nurture, Christian example and influence for them and their family? We do. The Lord give us the grace to keep the vows we have taken. Now, Hannah, I'm wondering, can I take Samuel first? Is that all right? And then I'll let Jill hold him. Is that okay? And then I'll let Jill hold him, and then you and I can have a moment. Is that okay? Brilliant. Samuel, you come to me. Look at you, fella. You're looking quite content at the moment, Samuel. Let me put an end to that. Oh, no. Samuel David Wardlow, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to pass you into the lovely arms of Jill here. Hold you on behalf of our congregation. Jill, there is. Hannah, do you want to come take my hand?
No, Daddy, come with you.
No, you come with me.
Oh. Daddy, come with me.
No.
No.
No. No. We talked about this, didn't we?
Oh, Hannah, we had a good thing going the other day. That's okay. That's okay, sweetheart. Okay. Do you know, Hannah, I'm going to be very gentle. But I'm going to say, Hannah Grace Wardlow, I baptize you in the name of the Father,
okay,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, what
are
we
doing?
We say thank you, God.
Amen. You are a pet. What we're going to do is we're going to sing. We're going to sing the Aaronic blessing. And Jill's going to wander around with Samuel, so you can have a little look at lovely Samuel, and lovely Hannah's going to be up here with her dad, and he may wander around with her, and you can see Hannah too, who are coming into our family. We're going to sing this blessing on them and over them. Let's sing together. Well, at this point, what we like to do is have a little picture, because we love, as the gift we give as a church to families and children, is a picture of them in the midst of us, because we say that children are brought up not just in their families, but in the people of God, amongst their family and friends and congregation. So we're going to come and stand in here. Joe, come and join us in here. And Chris, we're going to arrange ourselves. So, folks, you've got to stand there and smile. You're going to be on some family picture somewhere, so it's really important that you don't look really kind of gurney in the middle of that. So, especially if Chris manages to capture your face in there, it's great that we look all smiles, and Chris is going to get our picture just right here.
Well done.
I'm coming back here. Brilliant, Chris. Thank you. And as we take a seat, Gavin is going to come and pray for Hannah and Samuel and Joanne and David. Guys,
let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we want to thank you for safely bringing Hannah and Samuel into your world. Thank you for the joy which they both have brought to the lives of Joanne and David and the wider family. We thank you for the smiles and the giggles, for the cries and the tears that make little babies and toddlers the individuals they are. Thank you that you make each one of us different, with different gifts and abilities, different personalities and interests, yet you love us, each one, the same. As we gather today, we pray for baby Samuel and for Hannah and for the journey ahead. We thank you for their mum and dad, David and Joanne, and the faith that they have. Thank you for their love for you, for their wisdom in life, and for their service here in St. Phil Road. We pray for Samuel and Hannah on their journey as they begin to hear the stories from the Bible of you and your love for us, and they would one day come to know you. And thank you for the wider family of Samuel and Hannah, the grandparents, the aunties and uncles, the cousins, the friends and the neighbours. Thank you for those who do the pickups and the drop-offs, for those who help out at the night when the nights are long and the mornings are early. And we thank you especially, however, for those who have helped to pass on the word from generation to generation in both David and Joanne's lives. May this be an example to all of us to continue to commit to pass on your word to the next generation so that Samuel and Hannah can grow up knowing you. And finally, Lord, today we are reminded that at one stage, each one of us here today in church was the same age as Samuel and Hannah. Thank you for the godly people in our lives, both those who we remember and those who we don't, who invested time in us when we were children, teaching us your Bible stories and reminding us of your unconditional love. For we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Gavin, thank you. We're going to stand and sing about God's promises. I think this might be a favourite song of Hannah's. So we're going to stand and sing the rainbows in the sky to show God's promises are true. Let's stand and sing together. And then after that, children and can head on out to Ark.
Thank you.
Well, just as the children and leaders leave us, I have got about 1,000 announcements. So we're going to go quickly. You're going to have to be on it and pay attention. I've got musical interludes as we go along. So let me be quick, but tell you a number of things, a number of opportunities. This week, things happening. We've got the prayer meeting on Wednesday night at 7:30 on Wednesday. Friday cafe is at 10:30 on Friday. So come along and have a cup of tea and coffee and chat at 10:30. But looking a little bit further ahead, but you need to get tickets for this early. There's a Care for the Family event on the 30th of November. That's at Hollywood Baptist. It's all about building children's emotional well-being. So whether that's for parents or grandparents or people involved in ministry with children, do speak to Jill or Johnny about that. And they'll put something up on the SRPC Family Network on Facebook about that. But that's coming up, and get tickets for that. Okay, so there's a couple of things happening. Now, opportunities for volunteering and doing things outside and serving Jesus in different ways. We've heard from South Belfast Friendship House, who would love people to come and help with some of their kids' activities on Sandy Row. So that's for P1s to 3s, maybe helping out with an after-school club, or tots and toddlers on a Thursday morning. And a number coming along are actually those families who are living, seeking asylum and living in the park in hotels. So a great opportunity to show the love of God there. So if you could help out with that, please come and speak to me about that. You might also be thinking, I could help out with older, young people. So Chris is working for, Chris, who we saw taking a picture, is working for Dream Scheme. And one of the things they're doing is running here for an hour on a Wednesday afternoon after school, interacting with young people as they come home from school, giving them a bit of hot chocolate and a bit of banter and a bit of conversation there. So if you could help out with Chris, because they had a few people along, but they need some volunteers to help out with that. If you could come and help and chat and make hot chocolate on a Wednesday afternoon, that would be a great way. Don't forget, we talked a couple of weeks ago about Hyde Bank and opportunities maybe to read with people or help them learn skills. So that's still ongoing. We've also signed up as a church to the Welcome Church Network, which means that we're a church, when people come from overseas and are looking for somewhere to find a bit of a welcome, they know they can come here and find a friendly face and reception. Particularly aware at the moment, there's a whole number of Hong Kongers in Belfast, and they're looking for a bit of a chance to learn a bit more about Northern Irish culture, who isn't, and to practice their English a bit. So there's a bit of an opportunity there for us. If that's something that intrigues you or interests you, come and speak to me about that, because we'd like to think, could we do something there? Well, you may say, listen, Ben, I could volunteer in one of those ways, and that'd be great, and I will use some of my time, but where am I going to fit in my Christmas shopping amongst all of that? Let me tell you. So, if you head out to the hub there, you'll find a couple of things. One is Bible reading notes and scripture reading notes for the coming year. This isn't Christmas shopping. I've just gone off piste for a bit. Bible reading notes are out there, and if you are interested in having Bible reading notes for 2023, you can have a look this week and 2 weeks' time, and Ian Mullen will show you around those, and you can sign up for those. If you already have Bible reading notes and you want to continue, you just confirm that with Grace. Grace has taken on this role for a while. Ian's now taking it over, so you confirm with Grace, who's transitioning out, and you come and look with new opportunities with Ian, who'll be in the back there. It's a really great way of just helping us to get more into the Bible. We want to say a big thank you to Grace as well for doing that over the last number of years, although she's not retiring in any sense. She's playing and praying this morning too, so we're keeping her busy. But as you head out there too, you'll see a Christian Aid Christmas gift ideas as a catalogue. If you want to think about presents you might want to buy and help out Christian Aid as you do them, you can speak to Ian about that. But you also will want to go to the Winter Craft Fair, which is on the 19th of November. There's hundreds of these flyers. So grab these flyers, they're out in the hub, take them, give them to your friends, your family, your neighbours, your community, and come along and bring them along. This would be a great day on Saturday the 19th of November. There's going to be lots of different craft stalls there. There's going to be coffee and tea and tray bakes. You pay £3 in, lovely gifts to buy. And the money goes towards helping both a radio station in Timor and a new drop-in, a kitchen for the new drop-in centre for refugees at the International Meeting Point in North Belfast. So get these, give them out, and come along. Oh, we're almost getting there. Great. Christmas shoeboxes, while we're on the theme of Christmas, they need to be back next week. My word, I think that's it. Great. One more thing I want to announce, and that's we're sad to learn of the death of Roy Rainey of Woodbreeder Avenue. We're going to remember and later in our prayers, as Grace will pray, June, his wife and his daughters and grandchildren. It's also his sister, Joan McClurg, and with George. And we remember their family too. So Grace will lead us a little bit later in our prayers. We're going to come now to our Bible reading. This week, Kathleen's going to read for us. Kathleen's here, but she's already pre-recorded this handily, so she can do it in the comfort of her own home. So we're going to listen as we hear the next bit of 1 John. We've been doing a series, if you're new with us, on 1 John. We're going to be looking at 1 John 2, 28 to 3, 15. So Kathleen will introduce this virtually from up above.
The reading is taken from 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 28 and continuing through to chapter 3, verse 15. Children of God. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him.
Kathleen, thank you. We're going to think a little bit more about those passages and those words to us, but before we do, we're going to sing a couple of songs which take their cue from words we've just heard. We're going to stand and sing together.
Father turns.
Let's just pray for a moment. Father God, what love you have shown us in Jesus. We praise you for all that means for us, that we are children of God. Lord, help us to reflect more on this now. Help us to know and be assured of who we are and what that means for how we live and love. Speak to us through your word, we pray. Amen. I wonder if anyone's ever told you that you look like one of your parents, or that you've become quite like one of them. I was in someone's house last week and they had a mirror on the wall, and around it, I'd not seen this before, it said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, I've become my mother after all." I also remember a few years ago, a grown man speaking at his father's funeral, and he spoke beautifully. One of the things he said was that you spend the first 40 years of your life trying your best not to be like your parents. And then you realize that inevitably being like your dad might not be so bad after all. I wonder how you reflect on your own likeness to your parents, or you see that in your family. Here's some pictures of fathers and sons. Perhaps for some good reason, that's something you want to avoid. Perhaps the particular example or the toxic influence of your parents is something you'd like to step away from or see transformed into something different in your life. Nevertheless, when biology and years of nurture combine, and especially if you have a loving role model who's influenced you and you want to emulate, with all that going on within, it's natural, isn't it, to see the parent in the child. And with good parents, being like them is not only the evidence that we are their kids, you are so like your dad, but it motivates us to follow in their ways. I want to be like them. As we've worked our way through this letter of 1 John, John's shown himself a parental love and concern for his readers, for us. He addresses us as dear children. He does it here again in this passage a couple of times. But actually, much greater than that in this passage, he tells us not only that he has a kind of fatherly affection for us, but that we are the children of God. We are children of the Father. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are, he says. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. This is how we know who the children of God are. That's a truth we've just been singing, isn't it? Verses which inspired those songs. I am, we are, children of God. And that's the big idea running through this passage, and that I want to run through these next few minutes. That we're children of the lavishly loving Heavenly Father. But also how such children should show the character, the life, and the love of that Father. It could be easy to hear that passage or read that passage, trace through it, and for it to, on the surface, make us feel a bit less assured of where we stand, to make us feel increasingly anxious every time we fall short of being God's children, that we're maybe actually not God's children, to keep on wondering where we stand with God. Are we still his children? After I did that, am I still a child of God? But it's important to see that John is not writing with a desire of disturbing anxious Christians even more. He may want to disturb arrogant people, but really he's writing for our faith to be assured and to be authentic so that we continue on in what we know. He's writing to assure those who trust Jesus of who we are and of whose we are, children of the Father. But he also writes so that we don't get led astray by people who actually don't look like children of God, telling us that they are and maybe even telling us that we're not. And he's also urging us to keep going and growing as children of God in how we live and in how we love. Be like the Father. We're going to come to that, but the first thing we need to know and get fixed in our heads is that we have been born as children of God, and that's happened through Jesus, through what he came to do for us. And it helps here if we get into a bit of John's way of thinking and understand some of his terms. It's interesting that what we've been thinking about God as light, and up for the first part of John's letter, this is big idea of God as light and light in the darkness we've been thinking about. Now, John kind of moves on from that picture of light to think about this picture of God's children. But it's interesting, that's exactly the same move he makes at the start of his gospel, in that opening prologue. That bit we've come back to a little bit, and we always hear around Christmas time, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But a little bit later on in that, there's a passage that can help us understand John's view of things. In John 1:9-13, it's going to be up on the screen, but it's probably going to be quite small for you to read, but it just gives you a sense of how it flows through. We're told this. We're told the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And that's John speaking about Jesus, that the light of God being born as a human and coming into the world. John goes on, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So he's saying Jesus came to this world that actually he had made. And he made it lovingly and beautifully, along with each and every person in it, you and me. But when John talks about the world, he doesn't simply mean that the kind of beautiful, good creation of God. He actually means the reality of a world that's broken by sin and that's turned against God. A world that doesn't recognize the one who made it, and who loves it. And then when in that letter John talks about sin, he talks about it being like lawlessness. By breaking the law and lawlessness, he doesn't mean that sin's like breaking our kind of national laws, our government laws, like, you know, you break the speed limit, or you hold parties during COVID, or you send an official email from the wrong account. But God's laws, that's what he's talking about. The way God designed us to live and love. So when John talks about keeping on sinning, what he means is people persistently disregarding God and his ways. Having a disregard, a disinterest in God and his ways persistently. So John's not trying to picture the world as people, full of people who just do things that we imagine to be horrendously evil all the time. No, actually all people still reflect something of the good and the love of being made in the image of God. Of course we do. But he's talking about the natural tendency of people in God's world that's persistently to turn away from seeing God as God and to disregard what he says about how he made us to live and love. So he says, even those you really think should have recognized Jesus didn't. And what's more, John says in his letter, this tendency of turning from God, a bit like a kind of bowling ball with a bias the wrong way that moves away, that tendency, that we call it sin, it actually comes, says John, from the arch sinner, the architect or the father of all sin, he might call him, the devil. He says the devil's like someone who holds a toxic parental influence over people who turn away from God. Now, that doesn't mean that we look at one another and people around and say with some sort of disgusted face, "Oh, you're a spawn of Satan." Sorry, Johnny, I'm not picking on you saying that. But we simply recognize that the way of this broken world is for people to persistently turn from God because of that toxic parental influence from the one John calls elsewhere, the father of lies, who wants to keep people from the one who made us and loves us. But, says John, God's Son Jesus came into that world that was turned from him. He came as light into that darkness. And he came, says John, to destroy that work of the devil, to set people free from that toxic influence, to make us instead children of God. As John carries on in his gospel, he says, to those who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And not simply, he says, by human decision, yours or mine or someone else's for us, but born of God, by God's work in us. Overcoming that toxic influence, God puts his seed, John says, his life, his nature in you and me. And as we hear about and trust in Jesus, God brings that new life in us. Being a Christian, then, John says, is not just about having some sort of mental agreement to things we believe, or holding a set of beliefs that we could take or leave or change at some point. It's actually about a new birth, a transformation within that changes us for good, about God's life within us. Maybe that's happened for you from the earliest age, and you don't remember a particular moment when that happened. Maybe for you, a later point in life, you became aware of the truth and reality of Jesus, and you can name that point. Maybe you're not at that point yet. Maybe you're still searching and wondering. Come and speak to me or someone about that if you are. But through Jesus, John says, God at work in us changes our life from being turned away from him to being turned towards him. We are his children, and he is our Father. But here's the thing, and this is what John wants to major on a bit. He says, if this new life of God is in us, if we've been turned as children towards a loving Father, we are going to grow as children more and more like that dad. We're going to do what's good like our good Father. We're going to love others like our lavishly loving Father. We can say, in fact, that knowing that the true Son of God is Jesus, that children of the Father are logically going to grow more and more like Jesus. John says that. He says, actually, when Jesus comes back and everything's made fully right and good in the future, we will be just like Jesus. You'll be able to look in the mirror there and see the exact family likeness. That may actually be, says John, beyond our current imagination. But that's where we're heading, he says. That's what's going to happen as the life of Jesus, who came to get rid of our sin and whose own life is perfect and lives and grows in us, what will happen will become more and more like Jesus. Now, John makes a couple of big statements in here that we might just take a moment over because they could be a bit concerning without understanding them. First, in verse 6, he says, no one who lives in Jesus keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Then in verse 9, he says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they've been born of God. And we hear that and we think, oh, but I am a bit of a sinner. I thought I was a child of God, but I keep on. How does that work? Now, what John can't mean is that Christians, children of God, do not and cannot commit sins, do things that are not of God. He can't mean that. When we become Christians, we become perfect. He doesn't mean that. I mean, let alone from our experience, I'm judging you on mine, but we already saw earlier in this letter, didn't we? If we claim to be without sin, says John, we deceive ourselves. John is a realist. He has been from the beginning about children of God, Christians, getting things wrong. What John is on about here, though, is the difference between being bent towards God our Father and living and loving like Jesus, and wanting that to happen, and being persistently bent away from him. Children of God, you and me, we still foul up, because we still carry on and carry in us something of that toxic effect of sin. That work of God making us fully like Jesus hasn't been completed yet. We're very much still a work in progress. But children of God ultimately want to live and love like Jesus. We feel convicted about the things we've done that haven't been of God. We know that sin doesn't actually fit with the life of Jesus in us. We know it matters. So we want to be different. We want to change. We want to become more like Jesus. We still struggle with that. We still struggle with sin. And some things still plague us. But the struggle happens actually because the life of God in us wants to change us from how we were to how we will be. So we feel it and we want to change, even though that can take a long time and can be steps forward and back. It can take a lifetime. But the fact that we struggle with sin, but we're open to change as we seek to live and love like Jesus, as children of the Father, that's different from what John means by keeping on sinning here, being willfully, persistently, in our attitudes and practices and lifestyles, not wanting to reflect, not caring to reflect the life and love of Jesus. That, says John, that can't be the outlook of a child of God, of someone who has the life of Jesus at work in them. People can't claim to know Jesus and be children of God, but persistently show no regard for living and loving like him. It just can't be, says John, because children grow, be it quickly or slowly, like their parent. Now, what John doesn't want for us here is to worry every time we fall short of being like Jesus as to whether we're still a child of God. He actually says, remember, when we're born of God, God's seed is in us. It remains in us. Nothing can shift that. And Jesus forgives our sin. But he is saying that being a child of God should and does make a difference to how people live. Our children of God desire to live and love like Jesus and to the character that's increasingly seen in us. Actually, one big concern for John is that Christians shouldn't be led astray by influential people who claim that they know Jesus and that they're children of God, but who don't seem to take seriously living and loving like Jesus. There seem to have been people in John's time who claimed to know Jesus better than the Christians in the church there, but whose lifestyles didn't show that they lived like Jesus and didn't do what was right. And people who've walked away from being part of the fellowship, the church there of God's people. They seem to be people who have something they want to say about faith and think that you and I should hear, but they don't care to live and love like Jesus. And John says, don't listen to them. Don't be led astray by them. Beware that they are not children of God. I've said this before, but we need to be careful as Christians not to put on a pedestal kind of big name speakers who we listen to and follow because of their powerful speech and ideas, but whom we overlook how they live and love like Jesus. There's been cases in recent times, maybe you followed them in some of the news or whatever, people with a big following, but perhaps have stepped away from the accountability of actually being in a loving church fellowship. And they've been seen to have actually a persistent lifestyle or attitude that's so out of keeping with Jesus' life. And when it's come out, they maybe haven't been keen to change or justified it. And it's come out and it's been so damaging to them and others who have followed them. Or maybe there's influential voices that actually follow the way of the world and lead us to be overly critical or bitter or prejudiced towards other Christians. John refers here to the story of Cain, where the toxic parental influence of the devil led Cain to murder his brother. And as Jesus said, anger and words, not just the act of killing, but anger and words can be effective weapons in battering and piercing those we should love. John says, don't be led astray by those attitudes. Don't listen to them. Listen to those who seek to live and love like Jesus. Christianity is not simply a matter of words and beliefs, but a matter of how we live like Jesus and how we love one another. How we do what's right. That's why being part of a church fellowship is actually key, isn't it? Not just listening to kind of influential people, but being part of a church fellowship. Because as we do what we call here life together with Jesus, we not only learn, but we encourage and challenge one another to live more like Jesus and love together more like Jesus. So let's keep on at that. John wants us to live an increasingly assured and authentic life as God's children. He doesn't want us to get to the end and feel ashamed that we weren't bothered about living the Jesus life. He wants us to remember that that life and power of Jesus is in us, so we can live more and more for him. So says John from the beginning and all the way through, continue in Jesus. Be open to being challenged about your lifestyle and commitments, and taking seriously living for him. Be open to being challenged about how you love and letting him challenge our apathy and our prejudices when they don't reflect the love of Jesus. Let him shape us from within. Of course, as John intimates, living and loving in Jesus' ways is going to set us apart at times from many people around us. We'll look different. People may not understand the choices we make. In the same way, John says, is they didn't get Jesus. Sometimes people think Christians are weird and that we are irrelevant. And sometimes that's because we are and we needn't be. But sometimes it's because people want to resist Jesus, and actually they don't like seeing more and more of the love and life of Jesus in his people. At the same time, though, the more we live and love like Jesus, the more we do shine his light in this world. The closer we remain to Jesus, the more and more his love and life will shine through us. The love and life of the Father. Just like the closer we are and more time we spend with our parents, the more those characteristics of theirs shine through, so it is, the more time we spend with our Father, with Jesus, the more that shines through. Now, being like Jesus may not be something we see in ourselves. Actually, often the recognition from the most godly people you come across is how sinful they still are. But the closer we stick with Jesus, actually, the more others will notice our life shaping up in the family way. And we should encourage one another by pointing that out as we see it. That's what a church family does. That's what discipleship together is, encouraging one another, saying you're growing more and more in the ways of God. And the more radiant we are as a church in this, well, some may reject it. Others will be drawn into this life together with Jesus. We are the children of God. Let's keep living and loving like his son, Jesus, and may it shine through us. We're going to pause for a moment and be quiet and reflect, and then Grace is going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Let's pray together. Lord, as we come to you in prayer this morning, we come as sinful people who have messed up and who are broken. But God, you make us daughters and sons. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he paid the price for our sins so that we can be part of your family. Lord, we come as people who you call your children, your own. And we call you Father. So, Father, we are sorry for the times when we turn away from you, when we live in ways that don't honour your name. Please help us to follow you, to reflect your character in us, to love each other, and to bring glory to you. Father, we thank you for the children and young people that are part of our church, your church here. For those who come with their parents or wider family, and for those who come through our doors each week to the various organisations. Father, we pray this morning for all the leaders and helpers of Creche, the Ark, JCBs and Bible Class, Red, Rainbows, Brownies and Guides, Tiny Tots and the Junior and Senior Vibe, as they care for, have fun with, teach and disciple our children and young people. Father, help us as a church family to welcome, nurture and guide these children and young people, modelling for them what life together with Jesus looks like, and encouraging them to trust in you and walk in faith with you. And Father, help us too to learn from their example. Father, as we've already thought about this morning, we thank you for new life and that we've been able to celebrate this morning with David, Joanne, Hannah and Samuel. We praise you for the good times in life and we celebrate with those who rejoice. But Father, this morning we also mourn with those who mourn, and we especially bring before you the family of Roy Rennie. Father, we ask that your loving arms would surround his wife June, his children Joanne and Julie, his grandchildren, his sister Joan and the wider family circle. May they know the love and comfort of a heavenly Father at this time of sadness and loss in their lives. And what we ask for them, we also pray for any amongst us who are grieving, whether from a recent loss or one that still feels fresh, even though time has passed. This morning, Father, as Alf Thompson travels to Senegal with a team of four others from Wycliffe, we pray for them as they travel for safety, for good relationships amongst the team and with those that they meet from the translation team and the local community. Father, we pray for Alf as he manages the logistics of the trip, that you would give him a wise and clear head in decision making. And we pray for the filming that they will be doing over the next week. Father, we ask that you would use the films that the team are making about the language translation project for Contemporary Wolof to inform and inspire supporters to further the translation project and ultimately, Father, to build your kingdom in Senegal. And as we think of Alf travelling, Lord, we also remember Ruth, Patrick and Joel here at home in Belfast, and we pray that they would know your presence especially close with them while Alf is away. Lord, as we listen to the news and watch the political and economic turmoil both locally in Stormont and in Westminster at the moment, it's hard often to see a way forward. Lord, we seek your kingdom here. Lord, we pray for peace, truth, and justice to reign in our land and across the world. Lord, we ask that you would fill those who lead with your integrity, that they would be selfless, seeking to serve others first. Lord, we ask that you would transform, revive, and heal the fractures in our society. Father, as sons and daughters of the King, we proclaim that Christ is our all in all. And as we do life together with Jesus, we ask that you would help us to love you and to love each other and to live as chosen and beloved children. Lord, be our vision, be our wisdom, be our hope, be our present and our future, our King at whose feet we kneel, and our Father in whose arms we rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close our service to sing, Be Thou My Vision.
presence now and always. Now and thou only, the first in my heart. My King of heaven, my treasure, my heart.
Do stick around for coffee and chat afterwards, but now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.